Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Devil's Den. That's the place where two parents lost their lives in late July of 2025 in Arkansas, just outside of Fayetteville. The man who allegedly took them and allegedly has confessed, according to state police, is Andrew McGann. That's the guy right there. Lovely human being. I've now talked to two people who've done his hair, which is just weird. I've never had so many conversations with hairstylists in my life that have been the stylist for a mass murderer. But you can hear those on the channel too. They provide a little bit of interesting insight into his interactions with the public. Now he has pled not guilty to the double homicide that took place at Devil's Den State Park, despite allegedly already admitting. Joining me to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program. It's kind of normal, even when the evidence is super stacked against you, to plead not guilty. What's your take on it with this guy and this round of it?
Yeah, of course. He pleaded not guilty because doesn't matter what someone says you said, and if they didn't do it right with all the legalese behind it, without Miranda, didn't collect evidence right, there's going to be a lot of things that a defense attorney is going to want to contest to try to save a life, reduce sentences and things like that, because it's his right as a citizen of our country, or even just a U.S. person, or someone as important as this moron is. Yes, you can still do things like this.
It's a capital case. They are going to be seeking the death penalty here.
Yep.
I'm going to guess that might be why he pled not guilty, because he's going to use it as a bargaining chip.
Just like Koberger.
Yeah, to not get executed. Do you think this goes anywhere, or is this really kind of just, now we're going to play the legal song and dance for a couple months or years, or however long it takes to get to his plea deal? Or do you think he's going to try and go all the way with this, try and take this to a court? I mean, it's pretty insane if he were. He's on camera fleeing the park. His car is, I mean, it's there. There's not a doubt that this guy did it. I don't know how you're going to take this to a court and try and argue your point. But, you know, stranger things have been done.
Who knows? I mean, I say who knows because you can't go on what we think he would do, because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And another broken-brained individual. So it really comes down to who's been assigned to him as defense. Because if the attorney's really good, you're going to see some magic. It's going to blow our minds at what, how that. But if they have someone who's actually on the side of on a side of justice being done, it might go a little faster. So I think the first thing they're going to really focus on, from at least from my optic and perspective, is how was that confession obtained? Was it a legal confession? Was, did all the checks and balances and all the tick blocks happen? In other words, was he given Miranda? Did he confess verbally? And then the most important thing, did he write down that confession in his own words and sign it after Miranda was given? Because that's generally what they're going to go for. That's the gold ticket right there. Is his confession in his handwriting, non-compelled, in his own words, with no promises of anything, and after Miranda's been given. If they got that and DNA, I don't know why would the prosecutor even give a plea deal? I mean, no, we're gonna shuffle you off this planet.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the thing. I mean, but it costs money. You know, that's a big court cost if you're going to do this thing, because it would be high profile. It would be covered. It would be, there'd be a lot of attention to this. So, I mean, it's in the interest of the state to just get this plea deal and get this guy, you know, behind bars rather than all of that. As lovely as it would be just to put him down like a, you know, injured animal, because basically what he is. An interesting thing about this guy is he seems to have more of a personality than Koberger. It not just quite an empty shell. Obviously, he was a teacher. He interacted with kids. Parents had various opinions of him. Teachers that he worked with had various opinions of him. Some good. A lot of them, he's off and odd and kind of creepy. But some, you know, he was just another guy. The women I talked to who had done his hair, his normal stylist, I guess you could say, back in Oklahoma, who we saw several times. When I talked to her, she talked about him commenting on a picture that she had on her stand there of her daughter playing a sport. And he really got excited about that because it was a sport that was not as common as others would play for a female. And he just was commenting how awesome that is, that she's into those sort of things. It wasn't necessarily... She didn't take it as creepy, but, you know, just looking back now and knowing what she knows, it's commenting on her daughter. That makes it weird. But at the moment, it wasn't in that sort of a, oh, she's cute type sense. It's just great. She's playing that sport. She said that there was really never anything that stood out to her. Not that she's sitting there trying to evaluate who's going to be a murderer. But at the same point, they see a lot of folks. And you know, I asked, you know, I'm sure you've had folks that stand out to you as like off. Was that what you ever felt about him? It's like, no, you know, a little different, but not in any sort of threatening, scary way. In fact, she did his hair. He came in as, she doesn't have a salon that's a walk-in. It's by appointment only, but he did a walk-in one night as they were closing. Like, can you do this for me? And she did. And by herself in the shop, just the two of them, didn't feel threatened. So he didn't necessarily put off that character. I guess that's the weird thing about the guy like this. And that's what still just makes zero to no sense about any of this, is how do you go from that to this? Running into a park, stabbing two people, running away, getting away for several days. And then just start planning your school year like he's getting ready to go back to class. And look. He was getting his classroom ready, okay? He was. He never had contact with the students. That's what the school district is saying. He was in the building. It was the week before school started. Teachers are in there getting their classrooms ready. I know they don't want to say that that's what he was doing. It's what he was doing. I can tell you that, factually. So he was. I mean, he's right there. He was about to start work Monday. The day that he was actually arraigned then, or not arraigned, but they had the hearing. So I don't know. This is a weird brain to me. I try to get and try to put myself behind the brain and the prism and go, what's broken about this one? This one gets me. But what have you been getting as you're running your mind through this?
Yeah, I'm getting what you're getting, Tony. And I've seen it with fewer individuals that we've covered and that I've seen. And that is, and this is where I'd really lean heavily on some of my friends that are criminal psychiatrists and psychologists, because this looks to me, based on things I've heard them say about similar cases, it looks like a psychotic break potentially.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah,
because, you know, and I've seen this. Let me do my nose switch here. You know, I've seen this with individuals that are on that edge. And I mean, I interact with people on social media a lot of times. And I know a few that have followed me and probably followed us both for a number of years now that are normal-ish, mm-hmm. A little too needy, a little too dependent, a little too off, but still safe. And all of a sudden, I hear reports that they're off their meds. And all of a sudden, we hear some wacky shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a psychotic break, and you see them and hear them really ramble some crazy stuff. I mean, this happened to someone that was following me for a number of years that all of a sudden saying very threatening things. And actually was able to do a deep search and find his brother online and report, hey, I think mm-hmm. your brother is going off the rails, man. I have no idea what's going on, but yeah. you need to call 911 now.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, we're on it. He's actually been diagnosed with bipolar and he's off his meds because he doesn't think he needs them. There's one other case I covered about a year ago too, where it was something similar where someone's got an off personality, not completely off, you know, because it's manageable. It's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. He had things that were manageable, maybe-ish, because I don't know the full extent of the whole after children girl thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trial will bring out more in that if there's more there, or if it was just creepy, or is there more to creepy? In other words, was he an actual pedophile or mm-hmm. trading in child pornography or something like
yeah.
that? But where someone actually goes through something where there's some sort of psychotic break that is induced by something. So mm-hmm. they're going to be looking at the day or days leading up to this, because all of a sudden he goes back to normal again. It looks like after the events, like what caused that?
It's quite a deviation,
unless it's a massive deviation.
Doing this and we're not aware. That's been the bigger question that a lot of people are asking. And look, people get killed on hiking trails, I guess, more frequently than I was aware of. They do, it turns out. And there was some other ones where people were stabbed on hiking trails in similar ways. And they're now looking back at that going, was this him? And mm-hmm. I would say from what I've seen thus far, is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? No. Because all of these locations were nowhere near where he was. It's in the school year. He's not going to just take a vacation to Wisconsin to go kill somebody. I don't know. I don't think he would. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It wouldn't flow with the rest of his life that was otherwise uninterrupted, as far as we know. Unless he was off those days and took a vacation, who knows? I mean, that could possibly come out. But these one-offs all over the country where people died, I don't think it was him. But I do wonder, what else he was doing, though. You know, was this a psychotic break, or was there other weird things going on? The digital footprint of him is going to be very, very curious.
You know, and like you, psychotic breaks are a lot more infrequent. Mm-hmm. They're not very frequent at all. Matter of fact, I've only known of one that I've ever covered that was that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was induced. I think it was a drug-induced one as well, is what it caused it. And that's why I say there's always a cause event for it,
mm-hmm.
From my experience, from what I've seen. And that's why I think what we have here, and we've seen it before, is a hidden escalation.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was very private, didn't keep to himself. He didn't have a very big, if any, footprint. And so I think we're going to see a hidden escalation behind the scenes as they keep doing the research and the investigation on this. Like you said, this digital footprint, although if he doesn't have much digital footprint, it'll be interesting. So I think all the interviews of people in his life and surrounding him, like anything, my first question is, where did he grow up? Who were his parents? And what was that background like? Because everything that, not in all cases, because Koberger doesn't quite fit that, but mm-hmm. in most cases I'm reading on John Douglas's book, not Profile, Motive right now, another great book, where in 99%, again, off the top of my head estimate, but in 99% of the cases, most of the cases, there's a childhood background that is a precursor for mm-hmm. this arc.
Yeah.
And Koberger didn't have it, though, in the sense of that's why Koberger is a more, in my estimation, there's societal inputs on it, you know, mm-hmm. The nurture part, but there's also a lot of nature part. He was born with a very broken brain to begin with, and then bullying, all that kind of cascaded on top of it because he was broken of the brain. But the home life looks to be not a contributor to his arc of horrendousness. And so in most cases, though, it starts with that arc, especially when, again, if he's only a mass murderer and not a serial killer, you know, there's the three big precursors to it that are the indicators, and that having a dysfunctional family at home to start is always one of the big ones.
And from what we've seen thus far, I mean, granted, you know, it's my communication with his hairstylist, but the family, from what I understand, comes in there, and that they knew them, and it was, from what was understood, fairly normal. I mean, you only know so much, but hairstylists do tend to hear a lot of details of people's lives. There, from that perspective, I mean, obviously one could certainly dive a lot deeper, and there might be people out there that know this family better that have different information. It didn't stand out all that much. He was recognized as being, you know, a little more of a bully sometimes, a little more direct, a little more, you know, not going along like the other kids, but still was able to assimilate enough to be part of the groups, to have friends, to be in circles. He was just kind of that one. He wasn't the guy in the corner necessarily, you know, baking bombs. This is a guy who seemed to live a fairly normal life. But that's where you get to the psychotic break. And that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if that's going to be part of the not guilty at the end of the day here. Is it going to be not guilty by reason of insanity, not guilty by, I mean, and the mental health history, we don't know anything about.
Right.
And there may not be a mental health history, quite honest, because if he was able to get this far and do this, that's a sign of mental health not being taken care of very well. So there might be nothing on record. It doesn't mean that there's not a problem there, but I'd be very curious to see if anything was ever recognized. And like you said, was he on meds? Was he on his meds? Did he? All of that. There's a lot of questions there as to what would make someone go out and do this in this sort of way, in this public way, where your odds of getting caught are insanely high.
Yeah, the interesting thing that Douglas is talking about in cases like this, where, and juries are always looking for, and we're always looking for, you and I talk about all the time, is what was the motive? You know, what was the reason behind it? That is generally the most elusive thing for us to try to do and understand. But what we can identify is the intent. Mm-hmm. He intended to go out there and kill someone, but now we're just trying to figure out what was the reason and what spiked what looks like some psychotic break to do that intent. But there's always an arc. There's always something. There's always, it's just not randomly, things just don't random hit someone's brain that says, all right, I'm going to go out on a hot day in a black outfit with a big old backpack with a knife, and I'm going to find people to kill. You know, that happened.
And it was just those two. He didn't like keep stabbing other hikers.
Yeah, I know. And why not the other people on the trail?
Yeah.
There's just, I'm so curious on this because again, I think this goes to the challenges that you faced at the very beginning of this and everyone in the area faces that there's been so little information being shared by law enforcement on this, lack of transparency in a lot of areas that it's hard for, you know, folks like us to kind of come in and try to assess what's going on for the purpose of allowing people to feel safe with some people around you. Because this one, this is a puzzler still to me.
And what's weird, what I don't like about this either is how close to, number one, they played this damn thing too close to the vest to begin with and made a community feel terrorized and then got mad at us for reporting news. The other part about this that gets me is, okay, all of the hearing, the initial hearing, and then the pleading, all closed door, no public, no media, no cameras, nothing. It was the judge and him. I don't like that. And not just because this is what we do for a living and I like to be able to share what we're finding. This is something that happened to this community. These are supposed to be things that are out there in the open. The community has a right to know what the hell's going on and see these things take place. I'm very concerned that this is going to be one of those super locked down cases where if this isn't out there in the public, if the public doesn't have more information, you're going to get speculation. You're going to get conspiracy theories. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. And I'm going to say right now, if you don't want a ton of conspiracy theorists coming into your town and making life hell, I would suggest being a little more transparent. Not that you listen to me or give a shit. But I would suggest a little more transparency on this for the sake of the community that's enduring this. Because people have a right to know. Now, do your investigation, do all that. I get it. Things will come out. There's going to be a gag order, I'm sure, very soon. But how tight this thing is feeling already, I don't like. Because it gets you makes you question, it's already a strange enough case. Why? Why are we being so closed off on this and not showing the community our full hand on what this is about? Because it already doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's unusual. You know, early on in the Koberger case, they struggled with getting information out. And the amount of craziness and theories that were coming out about drugs in the house, about threesomes. I mean, there's all kinds of things that were getting spun out of control because no one came out. And again, I get the tight-lippedness of it, especially if you want to go for death penalty things. And a lot of times people, because the tenor I'm hearing is, well, they're not entitled to know because it's only professionals that get to do this. Dude, I've been doing this for 22 years, you know, plus more since I retired. So I understand all these reasons, rationales behind why people don't want to share information.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the public perception is, and if you're going to allow the public to run away with conspiracy theories, you're destroying your potential pool of jurors. Because think about this: if you allow all these conspiracy theorists to come in and paint what they think had happened and conjecturize about X, Y, and Z, and that gains traction, because what gains traction on whether it's the mainstream media or on podcasts like ours is unusual ideas. When unusual ideas or theories gain traction, you no longer own any narrative and you don't even have to say anything. You just come on and say, listen, here's the investigation. We can't say anything because we're going for this. We're trying to do this. We're protecting this. Just say we can't say, it's saying something. And that's what people are looking for. And then at the very least, you can shut down the crazy wackiness and theories that people are coming up with, saying, nope, that's not it. That's not it. Because that's exactly what the conclaves were doing during the Koberger case. Yeah. You know, they actually got on, they hired their own lawyer to make sure people understood who their daughter was and wasn't. You know, same thing with Ethan and what he was and who he was. I mean, so the parents had to interject
and
actually take control of the narrative because our sphere of podcasters and mainstream media were running amok because law enforcement and people that were in a position of knowledge were not sharing anything. And so do you really want to place that burden on this family? You want to place that burden on his family? It's not fair to his family either. So, you know, get out there, take control of something. So, you know, you're saying that you're in charge and you're a leader. Be a leader. That's it. Just be a leader. Work the problem.
And I would hope they will. So the ball's in their court. It'll be fascinating to see. There's another hearing coming up in November. And we'll find out more then as to where this all goes or if some sort of deal is made in the interim. But there's a lot more to come on this case. Let us know your thoughts in the comments on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. And be sure to press subscribe. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, always wonderful to have you here. This is his book. Go buy it right now. You will. Yes, you will. It's great. It's wonderful. You will. You'll love it. It's good. It really is. So do check that out wherever you get books. Unbreakable Alliances. Thank you for being here as always.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.